This morning, Senator John Tester. Good morning.
Hi, John.
Good morning. Good morning, fellas. Hope things are going well in the Flathead.
Well, I think so, yeah. Where are you this morning?
I am sitting right outside of Big Sandy, Montana, waiting for a broke-down combine to get fixed. but, you know, we're harvesting. You know, anybody that's in agriculture, at least this is the way my experience has been. If you have a breakdown the first day of harvest, you're probably going to have a lot of breakdowns at harvest. And so I've cut about 5 days, and I've had 3 breakdowns. So next year will be fine, though. I mean, we'll get everything fixed this year, I guess.
Oh my gosh!
The old combine ran really, really good for forever, and you know, just weird stuff happening. But it's okay.
Well,
we'll get it fixed. Get back out in the field.
Well, the pressure's on. You got to get that stuff up because you got to be back in D.C. next week.
Well, no, I don't. We're out now until Labor Day, actually.
Oh, really? Okay.
Traditionally, back in the old days, they let the senators out the whole summer because it was too hot, and then air conditioning came, and so now it's just August. But it's miserable in Washington, D.C. in August. It's so hot and so humid that it's no place for people to live. But so they let us go home, and then works out well for me because then I can finish harvest and then go around the state and visit with folks and talk about what's going on. So it's good. So we'll go back when it's cooler back in D.C.
Let's talk about the pack gag. It seems like you had to pull teeth to get this one out, and I don't understand why.
I don't either. I will tell you, I was shocked. But this bill is going to get signed today, which is the good news. The president is going to sign it sometime today. I wished I could be there, but like I say, I got work to do here at home. But this bill is good because, you know, and then we've talked about this a little bit on this show before, but there probably hasn't been a conflict that we've been in where there hasn't been some sort of toxic exposure, from mustard gas to Agent Orange to now toxic burn pits and radiation thrown in between. And this, the VA has never handled it well. This bill is going to give the VA the ability to deal with past, present, and future toxic exposures without having to have Congress act all the time and say, well, you know what, hypertension needs to be an illness that's covered because of Agent Orange exposure, which is exactly what this bill did, which is a good thing, but it shouldn't take an act of Congress. And so this is going to allow the folks... particularly the folks that were impacted by burn pits and oil well fires that have cancers and lung conditions now because of that exposure, to get the health care and the benefits that they've earned. And we went through a lot of gyrations. I mean, this passed originally in the Senate on June 16th with a huge margin, 84-14. And then there was a component of the bill which, quite frankly, if I knew who in the House of Representatives did this, I'd still fire him. But there was one line in the bill that was found to be non-compliant because it raised revenue. So you can't start a bill in the Senate if it raises revenue. So we had to send it back to the House. They actually stripped that line out and then sent the bill back. And then we voted on it again. Nothing else was changed. And it failed cloture, which you could have blown me over with a feather. I voted early on that, and I figured it was a done deal because it passed by such a large margin on the 16th. But nonetheless, that stalled the bill and put it at risk of failure. And I'm going to tell you what happened. Democracy worked. The VSOs, the veteran service organizations out there, called their senators, and we had about 50 veterans show up on the eastern lawn of the Capitol. And spent, they showed up Thursday night and spent 5-6 days there till the bill was passed. And people listened to them. And the folks who changed their votes back. And we passed it with, I believe it was 86-11 was the final passage number when we passed it here about a week ago right now, as a matter of fact. So it's good on all sorts of fronts. It does show that democracy can work. It shows that this country is concerned about our veterans and want to make sure that we take care of them because they serve us and protect our freedoms and protect our safety. And it was a good bill. And I look forward now that the president, I mean, the VA has already started putting up hotlines and numbers for veterans to call if they've been exposed to toxins. And I look forward to seeing the VA implement this bill. We're going to have to make sure they implement it as Congress intended. But so far, so good.
Yeah, this is one of those situations where, you know, we're doing it to ourselves. The burn pits, the Agent Orange, that was all stuff we did that affected our fighting forces. And it's taken this long for the country to do something about it.
So if you think back, John, and you're intimately familiar with this, with the Vietnam War, it ended 50 years ago, and we're still fighting over what conditions are covered, and their scientific evidence is there, so it's not really arguable from a science standpoint, but we're still arguing about which conditions should be covered, and that's ridiculous. We send young men and women off to war, and whether they get injuries you can see or whether you get injuries you can't see, we need to try to do our best to make their lives whole again. And it's an ongoing scrap. But look, the good news is we got this doggone thing done. There was a point in time, in fact, Jerry Moran came up to me after the vote went down. He says, what do we do now? And I said, we need to get some votes or this thing's dead. And we didn't have to get the votes. I'll be honest with you, John. It was the veterans that went out there and got the votes. And when the president signs this bill today, the veterans need to hold their heads high because they stood up and said, man, we served this country. We fought for this country. We sacrificed for this country. We did our end of the deal. You guys got to do your end of the deal. And our end of the deal is making sure that we get the health care and the benefits they've earned. That's what this bill does.
Senator, guest is Senator John Tester, just outside of Big Sandy, Montana, this morning. And, boy, you got to feel pretty darn good about getting this Inflation Reduction Act through after all the gyrations. What has it been, a year and a half trying to make all this work?
Yeah, it has been a year and a half, and this bill looks nothing like the first bill that was introduced. It was called Build Back Better. This thing is totally different, and it's a heck of a lot better, I will tell you. And I'll tell you why, John. It starts out with paying down our national debt by hundreds of billions of dollars. That's where it starts, and that's the biggest reduction in our debt that we've had in a decade. Then it does some stuff. Allows Medicare to negotiate for prescription drugs. I think that's a positive thing. We've seen the VA be able to negotiate. It's worked out well for the VA. Why not have competition and make them come to the table and give us their best price? That will help save some money, particularly for our seniors. And then it unleashes American energy, both commercial, domestic, conventional energy, and domestic renewable energy. And it does a lot more stuff than that. But underneath those three buckets, I really think that it's going to do some good things for this country. And here's the other deal. It is paid for. And there's a lot of folks out there say, oh, this is going to increase inflation and all that. Well, it depends on which group you want to go and what's going to say. But the truth is there's a lot of folks that say it's going to decrease it. The nonpartisan groups like Committee for Responsible Federal Budget and Moody Analytics to say this is going to drop it. And I think that moving forward, this is exactly the kind of stuff we need to start doing more of. I advocated at the beginning of this process that we need to take some of these dollars that we're getting and use it to decrease the debt. We've got a debt that continues to go up, and there's a lot of demands out there. I mean, chairman of the Defense Committee, I can tell you that there's a lot of things out there that cost a lot of money that our defense folks need. And you can say the same thing about domestically farm programs or school lunches or whatever. But the bottom line is that this bill pays down the debt, lowers costs for families, and unleashes our energy potential in this country. As my friend Heidi Heitkamp said, this bill really doesn't pick winners and losers. It allows everybody to step up the plate and do what they need to do to move the country forward. What will that result in? Hopefully it'll result in lower energy costs, and I believe it will.
Now, does this bill authorize the IRS to employ 87,000 new agents?
Getting a lot of press, and I will tell you that a couple things. Number one, if you pay your taxes, you shouldn't worry about being audited. Number two, right now the IRS has been underfunded for decades, And what that's resulted in is the only people they do audit are the little guys. The big guys, many of them who pay zero in taxes, have so many doggone lawyers that they can't even compete, so they don't even touch the big guys, which is where it's at. When you have around 200 companies that make over $1 billion in profit and don't pay much in taxes at all, that's wrong. And so I think what this will do is it'll allow the IRS to do that. By the way, the auditing that the IRS does, it is stipulated in the bill. Leave the little guys alone. It's the big guys that we're worried about that aren't paying their taxes. But in the end, you know, I've got a farm corporation. I pay 15%, sometimes a little more. And you got big guys that are spending, that are making over $1 billion, that are paying zero. That's not quite right. And if we're going to deal with things like how we're going to fund our Defense Department, how we're going to fund domestic programs, people need to pay their fair share. Not more than their fair share, just their fair share.
Well, the one thing for sure is that we can't keep going to the debt. We can't keep going back to the bank, so to speak, to continue with these programs. We've got to find a way to pay for them.
That's exactly right. And as I said earlier, I've been around, I've looked at the shipyards and where they're making submarines and where they're making the F-35s. And that's only a start, but the cost for this stuff is incredible. And it's not like we don't need it. China is our pacing threat. And if we don't, we're seeing what they're doing with Taiwan right now. If we don't be set up to deter a war, it'll happen. And so the dollars we spend, I think, are important dollars to spend from a deterrent standpoint.
Okay, now you mentioned, John, 200 companies making $1 billion a year. Did I hear that right? So that'd be $200 billion. Yeah. And isn't there a requirement of a 15% tax on top line profits that are reported to the stock market, correct?
And I will tell you that that's exactly correct. You heard me exactly right, Robin. And some of these folks are not paying that 15%. And all I'm saying is that, you know, everybody else is. Everybody else around the country is. This is a great country. It wasn't built by some people paying zero in taxes. It was built by everybody mm-hmm. pitching in and working together, whether it's to build the church in a small town or whether it's to make sure we have the greatest military in the world. And so we need to continue to make sure that this tax code is equitable, that it is fair to everybody.
Yeah, so everybody paying their fair share. That would raise $30 billion in tax, in debt reduction or whatever is needed there.
Yeah.
So thank you very much.
Yeah.
John,
exactly.
Couple of things that we want to just get your reaction to. A word from your office yesterday, the Columbia Falls is picking up some money to improve their streets and infrastructure, and also some businesses in Columbia Falls are getting some defense dollars.
Yeah, so both are good news for Columbia Falls. But Columbia Falls is, I think, a very, very much up-and-coming community because of their location with the park and the fact that they've got a lot of entrepreneurs there that are pushing the envelope economically and creating a lot of good jobs. You got to have infrastructure to do that, and the mayor and the city council came forth with a proposal to get grants from the Department of Transportation that are outside the normal appropriations process that are given out to do some things with their streets, and I think they put forth a very solid proposal. And they got to fund it, and so their leadership has done just did a great job of putting in a proposal, reminding me what that proposal said. And you know, we made a few phone calls on their behalf, and it ended up getting done, and that's important. And the other side is this: you know, we spend a lot of money, close to $800 billion potentially this year on defense. And, you know, we hear the big guys, the Boeings and all those folks getting money for defense contracts. But the truth is a fair amount of that trickles down to what you'd call a subcontractor or a provider that can provide parts for engines or missile systems or whatever it might be. And that's what we're seeing. A lot of the businesses in Montana, they're able to capitalize on some of these bigger defense folks that have the ability to build a F-35, say, and they might make a tube that goes on an engine or part of the landing gear or whatever it might be for these planes. And so what's that do? It helps keep our country safe, number one. Number two, creates jobs all over the country. And Columbia Falls was able to capitalize. The businesses in Columbia Falls are able to capitalize on some of those dollars.
Yeah, we have two big companies there. UAvionics has got $7 million. They're developing a future tactical unmanned aerial system, communication system. And Nomad picks up $20 million for developing their counter-small unmanned aerial system lasers. So that's had no idea that those sorts of things were being created in Columbia Falls.
Yeah, well, there's more and more technology coming to our state, both in northwestern Montana and around, you know, University of Montana, Montana State University. There's a lot of amazing work being done in our state that, as you say, John, most people are totally unaware, but very important. Because it contributes to our ability to be the leading economic and military country in the world.
Well, and then our universities, too. I was shocked to find out that MSU has a quantum technology research department. University of Montana has what they call the Pathfinder Cyber Initiatives and Advanced Warfighter Physiology and Operations Readiness. And Montana Tech has got materials processing, manufacturing technology, and rare earth elements processing, which we need for the batteries.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we could have a whole program on rare earth because it's really important, and it's something that China figured out about a decade ago, and they've been buying up rare earth elements all over the world, particularly in Africa. And so we've got to develop that capacity here. Because if we're going to move forward and have the chips and the batteries that we need to keep America rolling, rare earth elements are something that are very, very important to that.
You mentioned chips. Robin's going to ask you about that after this.
Our guest today, U.S. Senator John Tester, and John Hendricks said Robin's going to ask you about chips. Everybody's expecting me to talk about chips and salsa. But this is something much more important. This makes us much more competitive with China, correct, John?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, people say, what the heck's a chip? They assume it's what you said for chips and salsa. But the truth is, there are chips in everything from the credit card you have in your pocket to the car that you drive down the road and everything in between, and lots of them. And so we depend upon Taiwan and South Korea for most of these chips. We've seen what's going on in Taiwan right now. And the truth is, we need to build these things here because it's so critical for so many businesses. So what this bill does is to bring jobs back home, build the chips here. We're seeing facilities being built as we speak because of the passage of this bill. And it'll end up having more chips. That will end up, in my particular case, being a metalhead like I am, more cars on the lots of our dealers right now. That you've seen that new cars have been hard supply because we haven't had the chips. And so hopefully we'll get these manufacturing companies up and get the chips built, and we can make them here. We don't have to depend upon Taiwan or South Korea or any other country for our chips. The other thing that this does is really important. We talked about the University of Montana and MSU. It sets up regional research and development hubs for technology and innovation. Now, what's that mean? It means that we're going to have research. We're going to be promoting research in places where the federal government usually doesn't promote research, like Montana, South Dakota, North Dakota, instead of Silicon Valley or the northeast of the United States. I think this is really, really important part of it, not just because it's going to help Montana and help our university system and the people who attend those university systems, but I think that there's an incredible opportunity out there for the United States to take advantage of some great minds that we haven't really tapped in these universities. And so what I'm hoping is that we will get an innovation hub in Montana, and it'll have some spokes on it that will include North and South Dakota and Wyoming. But in the end, I think you're going to see young people be able to step up from a research standpoint and offer some great opportunities for this country in the 21st century. So it's a good bill. It's a bipartisan bill, as the PAC bill was. And it's an opportunity, I think, really, to get manufacturing and jobs back in this nation.
Okay, so I know one of the things that we've been lacking is the big manufacturing capacity, those plants, and that takes quite an investment. Does this address that?
Yes, it sure does. Yeah, it does. And look, I think the votes that were against this were saying, well, we don't want to help out business. Look, these businesses are going to pay back many fold if they get built. And like I said, there's one in Ohio in particular, because that's a chip factory that's going up, because Sherrod Brown kept talking to me about it. They already started building it when this bill was introduced about a year ago, a year and a half ago it passed the Senate, and we finally got it done. But so they started, and then this thing kind of went on idle, kind of like the PACT Act did when it didn't get cloture. And they stopped building on that plant. They were going to walk away from it and build their plant in Europe. We got this bill passed. They're back working. They're going to get it done. So it does provide financial incentives for manufacturing technologies to be built here, in the United States.
That's great, John. Lots of good news for us this morning.
Yeah. Just go ahead and finish and get your crop in, okay?
That's right.
Yeah, well, it's about a third of a crop, but you want to get there because, with the amount of rain we've had this year, I'm just thankful we've got what we've got. Let's just put it that way.
You know, I forget to ask you, what are you raising this year?
Well, we're raising white wheat, red wheat, barley, safflower, which I don't know if it's going to make it, man. The grasshoppers have just been nuking my safflower, so I don't know. But those are the ones. And I raised some hay early. Not much hay, but I raised a little bit of hay early on.
All right. Okay. John, as always, a great conversation. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. You take care.